with us today. Now, I'm not real familiar with Robert's rules, so anytime we need to stop and correct it, be sure and let me know. Now, everybody reviewed the minutes and the budget report for last month. If none, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes and budget report?
So moved. I'll second.
motion. All four?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, that was Dwayne and Phillip, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Secretary, you got the update on the bank signature cards? And
yes, with the chairman resignation last month, we've had to make adjustments, of course, on our our bank cards. So we will need to have it in our minutes that we are putting Jimmy on as the chairman at this point, and that we will sign new bank cards, signature cards at both banks. So it will be removing David Rackley off of the account, and Jimmy Green will be designated as the chair. And then when we get the new chair, we'll just do it all over again. But it's just to continue to conduct business, we have to have those cards accurate in this interim period.
Any questions?
Are we adding anyone else to the card?
No, not unless y'all would like to have us another person. But it's not there's not a need to have another one.
You'll be having an election at next meeting, so.
On two meetings, right? November?
Yes.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
I'm sorry.
All right.
You're going to cover that later, so.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I think the director's report update.
Okay.
Do you need a motion and a second to do that, or
not necessarily?
Yeah.
It just needs to be, you know, that y'all are aware that that's what we'll do. It's normal practice for us in the bank requirements. So.
I knew it had to be in the minutes.
Right. Sure
it didn't need to be official.
On my update, I want to thank y'all for coming. We do have a few adjustments to the board this time. And in that, you have, and I may be getting ahead of myself, but we do have Tracy is double dipping. He's the mayor representing Minor Hill, and then he's also the new budget chair. So he will be serving on this council as the budget chair as well from the county. So that doesn't mean you get to talk twice as much or anything like that. We just instead of saying one word, you can now say two, because you don't ever say anything. But anyway, congratulations. And we have Bill Carey back on the board again, and he is the he's the Elkton representative. Jimmy Caldwell was elected as mayor in Elkton, and he has designated Bill Carey as his representative. And I also told Jimmy he can come anytime he can work it out, and still y'all can both be here. We'd love to have him whenever possible.
Good.
And then of course Melissa is here as our new county executive. So I don't think anybody else.
Joyce.
Oh yeah, Joyce Woodard will be our
Morgan.
Huh?
Morgan.
Joyce Morgan will be our other county representative. She will actually be the one that Melissa has designated as our county commissioner to serve on the board.
Bethany.
Yes.
Having said that, I thought about that. You know, being chairman of the committee, I thought about getting somebody to represent Minor Hill in my spot.
Okay. That's your prerogative to do that. Whatever you'd like to do will be fine. Do you know who that'll be? Okay.
I haven't asked him yet.
Okay. All right. With our prospects and projects, we have had, since we met last, we've had six projects that got listed, and then yesterday we had two more that came about. All of these, out of the six, well, I'll go ahead and say out of the eight, because I'll include yesterday's, but they're not listed. It was Project Thermal and just a generic name, Project Small. And out of those eight, we submitted to four and therefore did not submit to four. Some of the ones that we did submit involved Valley Packaging Building, Bledsoe's Building, and the others are Greenfields. So, oh, and we did submit one for Timken Building yesterday, too. And we do, I know Bill had asked at the County Commission about the activity at Timken, and we are having interest in the Timken Building. I had a phone call, I think it was one day even this week, just a generic phone call about asking about its availability so that they were representing a company and just wondered if it was still for sale. So some of those, they very rarely will come in like that where just an individual calls rather than TVA or the state, but it does happen. Those that we did not submit were because of the size of the building, we did not have the size that they needed, and another one was we didn't have the correct proportion of land. They needed something that was 2,500 feet in length and yet 80 to 100 acres. So we only have one lot like that, but it did not have the proportion that they could put a long, slim building in. I'm not sure what the product was or what the industry was, but that's one of their requirements, so it knocked us out of that. And then another one required rail, and we did not have that, nor did we have the size building that they were interested in. So any questions on our projects?
Okay. What's the status of Merco?
Okay, Merco is ready to break ground. We actually got the check from them this past week for the land purchase, so that will be actually noted in the morning at our IDB meeting that's you know kind of wrapped up. I think they recorded the deeds today. He thought he'd try to get to it yesterday. I don't think he did because I don't have a copy of them yet. So everything is moving forward and breaking ground.
Probably next week.
Next week. So it's moving forward really well.
Are there any other questions?
You might want to make sure everybody knows when you say we got the check, we in this case is the Industrial Development Board.
Sure, yeah.
The EDC.
Correct, that's correct. It was made out to the IDB board, IDB, and then we deposited that in the account.
Of course, I mean,
for
to follow that up, less some expenses related to that transaction, that you know half the money go back to the county and half the money go back to the city of Blaise.
Any other questions, comments? Okay.
Okay, I've got some other things up. Is that okay?
Go to it.
In addition to those, I'll tell y'all, some of y'all have already heard this, but I'll go over it anyway. Our unemployment rate for this month or for last month was 4.1%. Tennessee is at 4.0 and the U.S. is at 4.1. So that's the highest we've been in a long time. Our surrounding counties, Marshall and Lincoln, are at 3.8. Murray County is at 3.7. And Lawrence is always higher than us and they're at 4.9. That equates for us at 4.1% is about 660 people. So that's to get actual number of people, that's what we're looking at on that out of out of nearly 16,000 workers. We went to the TVA showcase, which is a presentation that we were able to, we were selected to present in front of a very large group of TVA employees that are from all walks of life with, as far as economic development is concerned. And so we did this presentation of our community for them to critique. And when we asked Pat Ford to go with me, they asked for one other person to come with me. And so when we went up there, presented one Friday morning very, very early, and we got all sorts of feedback on how the presentation was, things to tweak. They offer services to help us in our formatting on anything. So they're really, I think they did 10 communities this year. And so we appreciated that feedback from them. And I really enjoyed getting to meet some of the TVA staff that I had not met that are in some of the back office roles on research and data mining and such as that. I had talked to you about being us having submitted for the Select Tennessee Site Certification Program. We have done that. We had a conference call last week about that with the Austin Group, the consulting firm that helps manage that program, and Leanne Cox and some TVA folks. There's about six or seven people on that phone call. And so we were talking through what our plans were, because I submitted the back half of Industrial Park South. And so it's we're still not at the point to determine if we're going to submit the entire back half or if we're going to parcel out like lot 15 or something. And so they're kind of helping us evaluate our choice on what to do with that. And then they're coming for a site visit on October 25th, I think. It's a Thursday. So they're going to come in, that consulting firm, as well as some state staff, and we're going to, you know, walk the land, ride the land, look at it, look at mapping, and try to determine how best to present ourselves to have another site that we can have on that list. Because a lot of companies, they consider that a shovel-ready site when it's a certified site because it has all of the utilities necessary, and it's oftentimes has some pad prep done to it as well. So that's a very good thing for us to get on that elite list. Everything is moving forward with TVA supporting further development of Lot 5. The road extending into Lot 5 is in the design phase. We're moving forward with that. That was the $750,000 grant that we got for that. And so everything's on target. I don't have the timeline on when they'll start digging on that, but I know they're working on the design, and that'll move forward. In addition to that, the TVA support is that they offered us a pretty large sum of money for us to match 50-50 to provide pad prep for up to 200,000 square feet for a building on Lot 5. And they've done all sorts of engineering work for us, design work on how to best balance that site, get some dirt work done on it where you can actually, it removes the mystery on one, if there's any rock down there that would be, that would prohibit certain location or size of pad. And two, it shows actually how the cut and fill works on that site so that they can see what size of building could be on that. And it's not a finished pad, it's just preliminary leveling of the land, if you will. It will be compressed, and the minimum size that we will be able to get is 100,000 square feet, and we'll go until the money runs out, is basically what it works out to be. Hopefully we can get 200,000 square feet if we don't run into any site problems like rock. Yes, sir.
Will it affect the watershed?
work they're going to be doing?
It should not. They should take all of that into consideration, at, because they will do that preliminary grading for getting the water to flow around the building in a appropriate way.
What I was getting at, several years ago in Murray County, this happened, and it was a big lawsuit because you can't change the watershed and dump the water on someone else.
Right.
It has to be where it will still be safe for other buildings and other people there.
Right. It should not. That should be taken care of with all the civil engineering site work.
And so, even to get the permit for it, they'd have to prove that that wouldn't happen.
Right. Yeah, that's all in the site design.
Until they actually put some asphalt or anything down, it probably won't have to meet too many watershed rules.
Because it's all permeable.
It'll still be permeable. It's lightly compacted at that point. But like when Intermit came in that South Industrial Park, they had to put a catch basin beside their building to offset the water that would run off their parking lots. So,
and that's what you have to do in a lot of sites. Integrity is the same way. They have that catch basin beside them.
I meant Integrity.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought you were talking about, you said Intermit.
I said Intermit.
Another one of those I words. I thought you were talking about another community somewhere. All right. Paving on the road in IPS back there on Technology Way is moving forward. The bids were received by the city of Pulaski, and it's on the list to do. I don't know that we have a timeline on that yet either. Do you know? Okay. If Terry were here, he could tell us a little bit more about that. And moving forward with options on two properties in Ardmore, and those one option agreement has been presented to an owner, to one of the owners, and we're about to finish up the agreement with the attorney for me to send to the second owner. So that's moving along quite well. I'm ready to get one of those on the books so that we can start to market that, because I think it's a premium site. I've been meeting with several different people looking at residential development, as well as another property owner. I'm going to meet with them about some industrial property that's really close to some industrial property that we already have, and I'm pretty excited about that possibility too. I have no idea about the price, but they just said that they were willing to meet with me. I talked to them Sunday night, and they said yes, that they would be interested in selling. So, well, I'll let you know how that comes out. Working still with two existing industries, one of them being Merco, the other being Integrity, on their new facilities, and that's moving along fine. Both of those will be located in the back side of Industrial Park South, and the IDB has been meeting regularly to try to get all of those details worked out with them. I met with the railroad. I may have already told you this, I'm not sure, but I did meet with the railroad. I probably did tell you about us getting another option for transload instead of having actual rail. I've been working with Martin College. They are very actively engaged in doing things that can support economic development in our community. They're not exactly sure how all of the ways are that they can collaborate with us on that, but I'm very excited because they have a huge economic impact in our community, and I'm looking forward to seeing what all type resources they have and are interested in partnering with whomever in our community. Sustainable community, we're still working on that. We're about to finish up that final packet for evaluation on what our classification will be, and that is a program with TVA. So Tamika Russell and I, Tamika from PES, has been working really hard on that and doing a really good job, and I appreciate all of her efforts, and I appreciate you, Richard, allowing her to, you know, push forward on a lot of projects like that. That's really good. Retail Academy, we just got back last week. We went Wednesday and Thursday to the Retail Academy. Jesse Parker and Olivia Officer and myself went up there, and it was a fantastic 2 days, pretty intense. A lot. They provided us with some. We had a matchmaking session where we could talk to developers and franchise representatives for everything from hotels to restaurants to clothing stores, and twice the ice guy was there too. I mean, just anything you could imagine, we talked to them. And then, of course, developers as well that were our tenant reps of a lot of franchises. So we got some really good information. Plus, they provided part of that $10,000 scholarship that I got for that. One of the deliverables was they provided us a big packet and a jump drive with all the data that they pulled on our community, talking about drive times versus distance, the mile radius and the drive time radiuses. And then they gave us 5 suggested franchises, retail, grocery, restaurants, whatever, that they felt like our community currently fits the demographics of that what that franchisee requires. So we have gotten together and kind of gotten a game plan on how we're going to approach this and what we're going to do with this information. But along with that, there's follow-up support from Retail Strategies, which is a consulting firm that will give us access to another data portal on their website that we can go and seek out. We can slice and dice our community information however we want to. Plus, it has a lot of the contact information for every possible retail, commercial franchise that's out there known to man. And so a lot of them they have worked directly with, and some they just have the contact information. But
can you share with us the ones that they said fits our profile?
If probably could, but I don't have it with me, so I don't know. I know a surprising one that they said was Kroger's. And Kroger's is large. They usually don't land in a community like this, so I wanted to check with them to make sure that was correct. But anyway, so another one was Zaxby's. That was on the list. Yeah. I've always wanted a Chick-fil-A, but I'll take a Zaxby's too. Yeah, so that was one that they said fit our parameters, and that's a good thing. So they provide that additional support. They provide webinars along the way. Plus, I would consider Lacey a personal friend now, that she and I just talk every now and then. She's the CEO for this consulting firm, and she'll just call and check in every now and then. Of course, she would like for us to get with her on a bigger package where we could contract with them. But she's very forthcoming with information and very supportive of what we do, because she's one of those that comes out of Birmingham going to Nashville, and she says, there is nowhere to stop between Athens and Exit 46. And I said, really? And she said, we've got to get y'all something right there. So So all of those up through there, we need to make sure that we continue to pound the pavement on those. All right. Additionally, as a point of clarification, and I should have already covered this, I had a note and I didn't read my note. We wanted to point out that on the bank statement, or the profit loss, June 30th, we were under budget. We had $703.51 at the close of the fiscal year last year. So we actually finished out under budget, and we did not point that out before, but here's the document for that. Also,
well, you're on the bank.
I backed up.
And that, the bank may want to point out also the restricted account that for the Toyota.
Oh, the purchase.
Yes.
You know, I sent y'all the email on the purchase, the sale of the EDC vehicle of $3,760. I had put it in the operations account, and last week I think we transferred it over to the restricted funds account. So I had the sale of the car was on the Monday before our board meeting. I closed out the deal with the man that purchased it. I took the money, I deposited it in the bank the next morning, and then I don't know that we pointed that out, because I wound up sending y'all an email. Donna sent y'all an email because we forgot to mention it at that board meeting. So anyway, we just transferred that amount out of the operations budget over to operations account over to the restricted funds account. Anything else that anybody have any other questions about anything?
What's a restricted funds account restricted from?
It was an account that we had that had that $40,000 in it that sat there forever, and I'm not exactly sure. Donna, do you remember where that money came from?
Before my time.
Okay.
It had something to do with the shell buildings they built.
So that is
the... there forever, and I think that Robert Barnes just named it that so he could differentiate between the other two bank accounts.
I wouldn't say it's actually restricted, but it certainly is a special account that we've not touched, and it doesn't mix with our operations. But that's what this board voted on several months ago, to pull the money out to purchase the new vehicle. So we just put that back in there in that same account, and it's in First National Bank. Our operations account is in Bank of Frank Ewan. Also, some of y'all had asked me about our website. We now have a website at a different location. Some of y'all had tried to get on it, I think, but we've gotten activated another website, and it's piggybacking on Destination Giles right now. We got all of the critical things back up, like the MTIDA, the Tools for Business Success, and the TVASites.com. So we have somewhere for people to go and still get that information electronically. The problem is it's not easy to get to. You know, if you do GilesCountyEDC.com, it'll say that site is not available. But if you knew where to go to, so we're trying to figure out a way to, in the interim of getting a new website designed. We were going to be doing that anyway, so in that interim period, we're trying to direct. I'm getting that URL put back on the MTIDA website, the TVA website, on our county. We need to get it on the county website so that when you hit that link for Giles County EDC, it'll take you to that spot rather than the old spot. Is there anything else that y'all have questions about?
We move along to other business. A related party questionnaire. Everyone has one of these. Everyone, please read and sign.
And on that, it's okay to say yes. They just need to know. It's not a problem to say yes. They just need to know. If you do or not, you gotta say yes or no on that. You have to answer those questions, yes or no. You can do it anytime. So if y'all could just leave those for us after the meeting.
Okay, next is the bylaws, updates. You wanna?
Sure. We we're working on the bylaws. The bylaws and the personnel policies and my job description don't, and we've talked about this for a long time, they just don't, they have some discrepancies and oftentimes some conflicting information. So since sometimes they do contradict themselves, even within one document, we're going through those line by line and we're making edits. So our plan at this point, I'll be making the first run edits and providing that to Jimmy as chair. And then after Jimmy reviews it, we will work within the operations and personnel committees to, you know, fine tune it. We'll sit down and actually go through it and try to make sure that we've poked holes in it and done all we can to get it as accurate as possible and get it structured like y'all want it structured. After that, those two committees get to a final draft point, then we'll bring it to the board, the whole board, for y'all to evaluate it yourself, review it, offer any suggestions, and get it to a final document and get it approved. So our plan is to do that over these next 2 months, so that when we do get a new chair in, they know what their responsibilities are, the vice chair knows what their responsibilities are, that it's very clear everyone's roles and responsibilities, as well as my own, because some of the things in the bylaws contradicted the my job description. So we need to get that, and then we'll elect new officers in November is the plan. So you want to go ahead and talk about that, I guess.
Next was discussed board members' position, terms of office, discussed process, and nomination with new chairman and vice chairman. There are certain positions on this board that are open for these officer slots. Bethany, you.
So chairman, vice chairman, some people have mentioned the need for us to get a secretary and secretary treasurer again. Because right now, I actually serve as the secretary treasurer, which means Donna takes care of a lot of those things. But it was suggested that we get and elect an officer for secretary treasurer while we're doing the chair and vice chair. But that, again, that's up to y'all how y'all want to structure that. And then also we have a vacant position on the board that will need to be filled. So y'all can be thinking about that and how you handle nominations.
Yeah, that vacant position was David's position, and I need some help on that one. How is his position appointed?
It's by the board.
Full by board. The board. Okay.
I'll find it.
If you'll look in your packet, there's a list of all the board members and their positions as it stands now, how those people are defined. For instance, Bobby Wynn is, look at Mike McComsky. He's private industry rep, and he has a 4-year term. He's appointed by the mayor, and his term is 16 to 2020. So they're typically... So you see Richard Kelly, he's on here because he's the general manager of the largest utility provider in the county. And many of these positions were identified because of the JEDC and then Tennessee Annotated that required certain positions. And each one of these, which some of them, if y'all wanted to even change the way what their description is of why they're placed on this board, you have the authority to do that as long as it doesn't conflict with the JEDC structure. So that list that you have now is up to the minute current. There is that vacant position that Mr. Rackley did hold, and it's not listed here, but it's not listed because he's not on here. So
And actually, the other position's not either. Tracy's other position.
Right.
Yeah, because there's 20 members of the board.
Right.
There's 18 listed.
Well, what you're saying as far as the bylaws, that the board is not doing correctly, or you want to change?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all. I just said, you know, while we're changing the bylaws, if anybody wants to bring something to the board, now would be a good time to do it, because we identify that within the bylaws. You know, the positions are noted in here and what their definition is, if you will, where they were selected. So if we want to keep that amount of detail in the bylaws, which I would recommend, now would be a good time to do it if anybody's wanting to tweak a description or anything.
I'll give you an example. I've always said this. I don't, nothing against Bethany at all. I don't understand why the executive director is a voting member of this board.
Correct.
This would be a great opportunity to remedy that if this board wanted to do that. I just don't understand why your executive director is a voting member.
Right.
And would that not be a good thing?
Well, I'll give you an example on the school board. I'm not a voting representative of the school board. I'm more of the CEO of the school system.
Because we are her boss.
Yeah. See, I'm at your pleasure. So I should not be able to vote on something I want or don't want. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So.
And that was an amendment. That was an amendment to the bylaws.
It was.
At one point in time. And I wasn't on the board at the time, but I think it was because we were having a hard time having a quorum.
September 09. Yeah, September 09.
So something done for convenience, but not, it might not have been the right thing to do.
Right before I came on.
Well, it says September 09. So.
No, that was way before then.
Oh, wait, I'm reading the wrong one. I'm reading the wrong one. You're right.
Wasn't that kind of when Haskell was...
No, it had to be after that. Still here.
Here it is. It was done February 27th, 02. 2002. Having the current executive director also serving as secretary treasurer, empowered to vote, increases the opportunity to establish a quorum and conduct necessary business. So,
Tracy, another thing that was some... discussion on with the length of this chair. If the chair that was the person that's elected for the chair only had was appointed and only had 2 years more to serve or 3 years more to serve, how long does the chair have to serve? That's one of the things that we've
it's just not clear.
And we're just trying to get some of these things clear. So as we move forward, then it's a clear understanding.
And it says that the board positions are 4-year positions, but do you want to put a term limit so that you can roll over the board on those positions that are not tied to an elected position or, to elected positions or like Richards, as long as he is in that employment? He will always be the person on that board, or his designee. Same with you. You can have your designee, but so that's another consideration on term limits.
We felt like it was a good time for everyone to get involved, and before the next chair came in or the new officers came in, would be a good time that we could get some of those things that would make it easier for them to go forward.
And what I would recommend is, each one of you go ahead and read the bylaws, and while we're in committee working on them, if y'all have some suggestions, then go ahead and put that note in, and we'll see if it's something that we could work in and then still bring it back to the board. But if y'all already have some suggestions, please don't hesitate to go ahead and contribute that information now.
I would be interested in knowing how the people who have served on the board, and some of them I know have been on the board for quite some time, how do they feel about being on the board, and is that length of time too much? Are they happy to continue to serve, or, you know, because that might affect who you choose to make replacements if necessary.
I know from my perspective and my experience that when you have turnover in the board, that's not a bad thing, because that broadens your ambassadorship. When you get someone in these at-large positions that they serve, and also somebody doesn't want to serve if they think they're going to have to serve the rest of their life or die. And so if they know that they're in a 2 or a 4 year term, and that's, they do their time, you know, and can come in and contribute and then move on, then to me, even in this situation where, you know, I'm working with this board, I think, you know, if it's someone that was really a great contributor and was a real asset to our board, I would love to have that person out in the community. I know I can still go to them. They don't have to be on my board for me to go to them for support or help or advice. But then we get somebody else fresh in here that maybe would like to participate, never thought they could. They don't want to, you know, we don't want that perception that this is a good old boy network and that you have to be a certain whatever to be on this board. We want this to truly be a good representation of our community and all of the, and that's why I think the labels, if you will, of each position shows that we're trying to do that. You know, we have a good diverse cross section of different business types, different industry sectors, and then all our different elected officials and stakeholders. That's important. So I think that refreshment of those board members that can turn over, I'm not afraid of that. I don't have a problem with it. I would actually encourage that.
I really think that's a great idea to have turnover on the board. Which, when you have not large turnover at one time,
right?
But you know, 1, 2, 3 new members coming on the board, because it brings in fresh ideas. Mm-hmm. It brings in a different point of view sometimes. And if you had the same members over and over again, I think in the long term you begin to become stagnant. And you don't get that point of view from somebody that's been outside before. So I think it's a great idea.
You could stagger it so that you don't lose your continuity of your board. Sure. And then you've got to figure out where the cutoff is. I mean, mm-hmm. You don't want a member on for a year and then get rid of them, because that's...
Well, it's just
really kind of starting to learn. Yeah.
It's just like a chairman, and both of these chairmen, anybody that served as a chair, you're just starting to figure it out after a year. You know, you go through your firsts of everything through 1 year, and then you're gone. So I'm, you know,
get somebody up to speed and feel like they're making a contribution, and then they
leave. Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's, you know, that model of you know, president elect, chair elect. Kind of thing, and having that succession where they know that they're next in line. Sometimes that model works, or just fresh election, but whatever. I think that I think we all know probably a minimum of 2 years is at least 2 years is what helps the most as a chairman, if you can serve that long.
There's nothing to say either in the bylaws that if you serve for a period of time and then you go off, that you can't
come back
and serve again.
You just have a rest period.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that could always be, if you had somebody you wanted to get back on the board, and if there were a vacancy, just roll off for a little while and then come back. But I've always thought that turnover is healthy for an organization.
What is it, about half the members? Not elected.
It's actually only six. Yeah, we counted them up the other day. It's 6 positions that are not, you know, from elected position or something else like that. And then as y'all, like y'all's for committees, that one could change and has changed in history. So But nevertheless, it's there are six positions that are outside of that group of people, outside of that elected or appointed position.
What would be the thought of, to replace the elected position that's vacant now, or appointed position, however you want to say it, by this board, with somebody from Martin College, talking about them wanting to be a part of economic growth? We've got the school system involved. You're talking about higher education.
The only difference is, let me see what...
to replace Rackley's.
It was called private business. Wasn't that right, Donna? It was called private
business.
Yeah. The at-large private sector business owner, non-elected, in a sector other than manufacturing. That's that description. If you wanted to change the description,
yeah, Herschel had that before, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before, and then they got it.
Right.
Okay. Right. Any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll move along to committee reports, board operation and personnel. We have had some meetings related there, and I'm hoping that you have read the minutes that from those, both of those meetings. One was the 30th and the other was September
13th.
If you've read them and no questions, I need a motion to be approved. It was operation. It was kind of a personnel.
Yeah, there's two.
I was going to say, I don't know that this board needs to approve those. Not a committee.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we need. Because
the committee approves that when y'all meet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The committee will approve.
I was under.
Yeah.
Boy, that was an easy one. Okay, building land, we haven't had a. We did not have a meeting, but I think you've already commented on some of the things going on with a couple of industries. Workforce development?
Yes, but I didn't have something to give to you all this time because we just met. So I will have some written minutes that I will forward, of course, to my committee and then to her. But the main things that we discussed today, of course, is our Career Expo. This is the Endless Opportunities Career Expo that will be over at Martin College on the 4th of October. So that's something very, very big. We are getting our things together, but if any of y'all could come over there that day, we will be there from 8 to 2 and see the exhibits that we have. And Bethany, I want to just back up a little bit of what you said. She mentioned that Martin Methodist was getting involved in some of this. Let me just tell you a little bit. We now have a representative of Martin on our board. He, Alan Stanton, and he is also over rural communities there and for all of these small churches that we have out there. So let me tell you what he is going to do. He's going to invite all of those pastors to come to this expo, see what it's like, meet some of the exhibitors. Then that pastor will be able to talk to some of the young people in their congregations about that event. And then it's kind of a segue for them to get involved with the young people. What are you wanting to be when you grow up? So there's little bitty snippets of things, but I just thought that was so good. And what Alan is there to do, his mission there at Martin Methodist, I really support. It's great. But he is on our board, so we talked about that today. The other thing that we are doing and have already experienced some is what we're calling the work-based learning. in some of these areas, such as the agriculture, health sciences. We are having experts to go in what we're calling a lunch and learn. They're going to go into the libraries of Richland School and to the high schools during the lunch periods, and these people, and I'll give you an example, Mike Mayfield from agriculture, that's his background. He went into the school during the lunch period up at Richland, and he said it was good, had a good experience. Stan will be going as our lawyer to criminal justice next month. So again, trying to encourage these young people of what do they want to do, what have they got to do to, or need to do to go into some of these walks of life and what they need to study. So if you don't have anything, we just met, but I will write these up and you can get them later. Any questions, anything? Yeah.
Thank you. Age and longevity? Yes, ma'am.
Well, my committee didn't meet this month, but I did several things on my own. Partly because last month I gave you all a sheet of paper to fill out to tell me what you all knew about what's going on in longevity economics, you and Giles Ginn. And it's a difficult subject because it's something sort of new, so I didn't get any responses from anybody. So based on that, I decided what I would do to try to gather information on what Giles Ginn is doing. I decided to go out and interview some companies and just ask them what are they doing to support the older people here in our county. I interviewed Reeves and I interviewed one of the sign companies. I started with them. And I'm very pleased with some of the things they're doing, and I will be able to pass that on to you, but I want to interview a few more before I recap some of those things. Also, I had seen where the Commissioner on Tourism commented about how much tourism means to the state of Tennessee. So I decided I would ask him what he was doing in terms of longevity economics. And just so some of the people that are here that have not been here before, this is part of what I sent to the Commissioner on this. Longevity economics provides the framing and insight business leaders need to serve the growing older market, a vast, diverse group of consumers representing every possible level of health and wealth worth about $8 trillion in the United States.
Wow.
So this is an opportunity for Giles County to get on to that. I met with Senator Hensley yesterday because I'm really trying to get Tennessee to take this on as a major thrust across the whole state. And he and others have been very responsive. When I sent this particular information on tourism, I asked him would he give me anything that Tennessee was doing to reach out to the consumer market for older people. And he has responded back and he said, I'll have some Middle Tennessee numbers for you. And then he talked about a program called Retire Tennessee. There's 22 counties here in the state of Tennessee that have been designated retired. And that's the other side of the coin. That's the customers you want to take advantage of whatever we are able to offer to them. There are 22 counties that are identified as retired Tennessee. Murray County, Marshall County, Hardin County, Franklin County are some of the ones that are closest to us. And they have a certain criteria of what they provide to these people. And there's an internet site and people can go to that when they're interested in retiring in particular places. But that's the other side of the coin. That's getting more consumers here in Giles County. So I'm going to continue to push for Tennessee to take this on as a thrust for Tennessee. And in the process of doing that, I'm also going to be asking them, what are they doing in terms of trying to identify different ways to meet those needs? When I interviewed Reeves, I was so pleased with some, and I hate to call just out one company, but it's the only one I've talked to just yet. But I'm so pleased with what they were doing because they're doing home deliveries and they're doing people that get out of the hospital, they're allowing them to get their prescriptions immediately sent to the drugstores and then delivering it to them. So there's all sorts of opportunities out there for different companies to support this growing market. And I want to make sure we in Giles County are on top of that.
Thank you.
So that's what we got.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah, any questions? I'm happy to answer any questions, Dave. Just keep it in mind when you're talking to other people.
Okay, I guess community, anything else you know of? Okay, community interest items. Pat will start view and come around the board, table to the left, and then table to the right.
Oh, okay, this is an ad moment. Very good. Let me just let everybody know I'm running for re-election as alderman.
The town of Linville is on September 22nd is having their fair in the square there in the municipal building. Just to let you know, the clinic has opened in Linville. It's open 3 days a week. Also, on a personal note, the Fraternal Order of Police is doing their run at Kyle Hilton's over by his house. It'll be a 5K run. And on that same day, which will be October 20th, we're also doing a trap shoot where teams can compete, and we'll have a lot of things for them to do there.
Ronnie.
Maybe a couple things. One thing Carolyn's probably already talked about, I mean, that's the grant we got at the park for the soccer field. Elton's received the grant. The 50-50 grant for putting, actually enhancing the whole park, but this type of grant comes in stages. You apply and you get a grant for, you get awarded a grant, and then you wait 2 years before you can apply for another grant. You correct me if I'm wrong. And then you can apply for another grant to do some more upgrades in the park. And we've kind of in the first phase of that. We've received the first grant, and it's to put in some soccer fields in our park in Elton. And we hope to get in 3, maybe 4 soccer fields. Of course, they're not these big, long soccer fields that the big boys play on, but it's a smaller size ones for the children, you know, and everything. That's kind of a start. And our baseball field needs upgrading. We hope to put in a batting cage in the future at the baseball field and make some walking trails and upgrade our concession stand and just go on from there. So we're doing that. We're also considering another event to have at our park maybe in the fall this year. We're just now putting that together and getting more details, so I really can't tell you all the details of it right now. That's all I got.
Rich.
I applaud him. I mean, you have a vision and you're moving in that direction. That's so outstanding. Well done.
Rich.
There at the Old Bogenham School, we have a very active community club. They are presently getting ready to start building a pavilion where the old cafeteria used to be, the community club is. In the future, they hope to enclose it and have facilities there for people to meet. I think it's probably the most active community club left in the county, one of the few. The ladies there work very hard. It's 25 of them. They had a Bodenham Festival this past Saturday and was real successful with it. They have a Swamp John's schedule for the 9th day. That's on a Thursday of October there at the Mount Moriah Fellowship Hall Church Building. And as all of you know, Swamp John's, it's the same every time you eat. It's good food. So if you have an opportunity to come out and support the ladies, they work very hard in trying to keep some interest going there in the community.
So the 9th is on a Tuesday, so is that right?
It's a Thursday night.
So that might be the 11th?
No, it's 11th, excuse me. I'm thinking of something else on the 9th. It's 11th. Thank you for correcting me there.
I was going to put it on my calendar and I saw it.
Okay.
Excuse me just a minute. We got to put it in reverse for Mr. Carey.
Okay.
Yeah, I left out one other thing. I'd like to say thank you to Philip Wright, the school board. We just recently got some upgrades to the school at Elton, Tennessee. Yeah. We got our parking lot paved. Which it desperately needed, along with probably other schools' parking lots. But we finally got ours paved, and we got some more upgrades inside the building. And that was a great thing for our school.
We're doing the track for you next year.
Right.
Good.
I've got some news. It's some great news, but it's embargo. That means I can't really tell you all of it. But we have one of our schools in our district that finished in the top 5% of the state. So that school will be named a reward school. which again is the biggest honor you can get for academic achievement. We've got a couple other announcements. The Boys and Girls Club is having a fundraiser. It's a lunch fundraiser. It's, I think it's $50 a ticket, and it's $1,000 for a table. So if any of your businesses want to do it, it's October the 24th, and it is a lunch. It's not a dinner. It's actually lunch, and I think it's, I remember, 11:30 to 1 or something like that. The Rotary Club is having casino night, and Pat, that is on October the 20th. And that money has been used in the past for our Ready to Ready program. Which is one of our great programs that we do with our kids.
What time is that Boys and Girls thing?
It's That's the same time as this meeting.
Yeah.
So just a FYI.
Yeah, maybe we can.
We might all think about.
I was going to say the October meeting is when the county commissioners are at our fall conference as well. So that's the Chattanooga conference that same day on our next EDC meeting as well.
The announcement that we're going to make is going to be done on Friday. Okay.
This Friday.
This Friday.
This Friday. Yeah.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. The teachers and principals have worked hard, yeah, especially the kids. Don't forget them.
We have 6 new commissioners. We just met for the first time Monday, so we'll have some new faces, and inviting them to talk to members of different boards to try to educate themselves. So you may have some commissioners reached out just to ask you how things work.
Pat. Carolyn, if you'll start them off around the table there.
And introduce our guest when we get in. We've got guests. We've got Chris and Mayor as guests.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to mention our community is going to be inundated with a lot of people this weekend due to the Spartan race being held at Milky Way. We need to do everything as a community to have something for these folks to do they come here, because we are fielding questions. You know, they love the dueling pianos and everything that the city did the last time, but we're beginning to see a lot of repeat customers coming back, and they really like the setup and everything that's going on. And then that's, you know, Saturday and Sunday at Milky Way.
Yeah, Jesse's not here, so you can just keep on adding stuff. Because she's
Ann's there. I'm sure
Ann's there. There you go. I didn't even see Ann. I'm sorry.
Campbellsville Heritage Festival is October the 6th.
Right. And then Chris, sorry, I'm sorry. Here is the 4th through 6th of October. So it's going to be a big thing this year. We're expanding and getting a lot more. We're going to be having, starting out with the chili. On the 4th Thursday night, we're going to have the high schools do a jamboree, and we'll be selling the chili, and we're actually going to have a live band there so people can stay up later and have a good time. Friday is our farm to table dinner, as well as a farm tour. If you need to, just call the chamber and sign up. And then Saturday, we're having a big festival on the square. We're going to have a lot of Agro-Olympics games, and a lot of things are going to go on there, too. So for 3 days.
Mayor, did you?
October 14th.
She wouldn't do.
Thank y'all for coming.
Mayor,
I appreciate y'all.
Do you have anything?
No.
Okay. Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I just want to say for the senior center, and I apologize because I don't have a date on my calendar, but we're going to have in October the police force coming up there and talking about Yellow Dock. If some of you all don't know what that is, it's a service that's provided here in Giles County. If you have an accident or something in your car and you have that dot on your car, they know to look for the information that says what all your particular medical conditions are. So it's a really important service for anybody. But I'm passing that information on, especially to the mayor, so that if you're out there talking, people in your community, you can inform them about it. I'll be getting on the radio to tell people about it, but it'll also be coming out in Giles County.
Also, Mr. Cesarini is a guest of ours today. We appreciate you coming. He's one of our new...
District 3, just recently elected. I'm really having a great time. If I told the shock, I'd be glad to help any way I can on this committee. I really think y'all are important.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Do we have anything from Large Board? Okay. Carolyn?
No.
Table here. Oh, okay.
Jimmy, I have one of the, this is not in mine here, but I think the Stella Fish Fry is going to be the 22nd. The annual fish fry. They have the sporting school down there. But I think it's the 22nd.
Yeah.
September.
So this Saturday. Okay.
At Stella?
Yeah.
BLT.
I don't want to contradict that, but I got a call from Bobby Newbank saying it was going to be the 29th.
It may be the 29th. I was thinking there's no more than the
57th. Normally the 4th, but they said it's going to be on the last Saturday. And there's five Saturdays in this month. So well, that's what I was told.
Y'all just be looking for it.
In the next. Both agencies.
Just get your pellets ready for some good fish. That was a well known fish.
All Eddie Bass.
And what time does that normally start? Isn't it like 3 or something?
BLT.
4 o'clock.
Okay. If there's nothing else, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Related party questionnaire
on the table for me, and I'll pick them up. I got a question. I'm going there. I got to pick up your question.
Thanks.
All right. I'll let you do it. She said
leave it
on the table.
All right. I read the date, but I didn't read the time.
I noticed you weren't here, and I thought, well, I guess it just didn't work
well,
out for you.
Well, I was actually in the hay field, but I could have come out a little early.
Yeah, I see. I just didn't. I'm sorry.